Ashtotra Shatra Shri Srimad, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Ananta Kota Vaishnavinda Ki Yaskan Founder Acharya His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Gaura Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Parishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminite Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Bacharane Niravishesha Shunya Bhari Bhakshachade Stadi Shri Balaram Jayanti Ki Jai. So we're all very fortunate to be here today, ISKCON Temple in New Ramanreti, for the celebration of the appearance day of Lord Balaram, who 4 years ago blessed us with his appearance on our altar so that we could serve him in a daily fashion. Of course, days like today are very special, and so we emphasize them with special ceremonies and service. So in that light today, I'll be leading a discussion of the pastimes of Sri Balaramji. And we pray to Srila Prabhupada, the previous acharyas, all the Vaishnavas present, that we may be able to contribute to the loving worship of Sri Sri Krishan Balaram here in New Ramanreti Dham. Hare Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So I've selected a verse from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, first chapter, text number 24. So the word meanings are Vasudeva Kala Ananta. The plenary expansion of Lord Krishna, known as Anantadev or Sankarshan Ananta, the all-pervasive incarnation of the Supreme Lord. Sahasra Vadana, having thousands of hoods, Swara, fully independent, Agrata, previously, Bhavita, will appear, Deva, the Lord, Hare, of Lord Krishna, Priya Chikirshaya, with the desire to act for the pleasure. Vasudeva Kalananta Sahasra Vadana Swarat Agrato Bhavita Devo Hare Priya Chakirshaya Vasudeva Kalananta Sahasra Vadana Swarat Agrato Bhavita Devo Hare Priya Chakirshaya Vasudeva Kalananta Sahasra Vadana Swarat Agato Bhavita Devo Hare Priya Chakirshaya
Vasudeva Kalananta
Sahasra Vadana Swarat
Sahasra Vadana
ladies. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The foremost manifestation of Krishna is Sankarshan, who is known as Ananta. He is the origin of all incarnations within this material world. Previous to the appearance of Lord Krishna, the original Sankarshan will appear as Baladev, just to please the Supreme Lord Krishna in his transcendental pastimes. Purport: Sri Baladev is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. He is equal in supremacy to the Supreme Godhead, yet whenever Krishna appears, Sri Baladev appears as his brother, sometimes elder and sometimes younger. When Krishna appears, all his plenary expansions and other incarnations appear with him. This is elaborately explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita. This time, Baladev would appear before Krishna as Krishna's elder brother. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunilitam Yena Tasmaya Shri Gurave Namaha. Prabhupada Ki Jai. This is a very interesting verse from the first chapter of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. It occurs where Lord Brahma, having been requested by the demigods who were troubled by the evil rulers of the earth, had approached him and asked him, Lord Brahma, to approach the Supreme Lord for some relief from this situation. And so Lord Brahma went to the ocean of milk, and there he prayed through meditation on the Supreme Lord, and then he received instructions within his heart that the Lord would appear and relieve the burden of the earth. And so now, in the verse today, Lord Brahma is coming back to the demigods, and he's explaining to them what will happen. First he says, well, you should start taking birth in the dynasty of the Yadus, etc. And then he comes to this verse where he's explaining that Lord Baladev will appear as well, along with Krishna. And it's a very interesting verse in another way too, because it shows both the tattva, or the supreme truth, of Lord Balaram, but also the lila, or the more intimate aspect of the Supreme Lord Baladev. And the verse does that by different words that it uses. We can just go over a couple of the words so that we understand how the verse is explaining both this truth of the all-powerful Lord as well as his more intimate side, his more pleasing side. In the verse, Vasudeva Kalananta, the plenary expansion of Lord Krishna. Lord Balaram, he is the first expansion of the Lord. The Lord Sri Krishna, being all-powerful, one of the things he can do with his Shakti, or his power, is expand himself. And he can expand himself unlimitedly. And indeed, in the descriptions from Srimad Bhagavatam, and Prabhupada references Chaitanya Charitamrita here in the purport, from those descriptions, we get some idea of how powerful and how expansive the Lord's energies are. But the first expansion is Lord Balaram. So imagine his position among others. So the verse starts, Vasudeva Ka Nanta, referring to the plenary expansion of Lord Krishna. This word plenary, it means full or complete. Complete expansion. Prabhupada has said, actually, Balaram is not different than Krishna. He's not different. Just one is black and one is white. Otherwise. But the first expansion is Balaram. And he is described here as Sahasra Vadana, having thousands of hoods, having thousands of hoods. So we've seen, all of us have seen the pictures, the paintings of Ananta Shesha lying on the bed. Vishnu would lie on the bed of Ananta, and thousands of hoods would be there. Actually, it's quite frightening. I'm afraid of snakes myself, so I'm not sure how. Yeah, my name is Sesha. That's well, but thousands of hoods. You can imagine the awe-inspiring majesty that would evoke in one's heart. So the power, the verse is describing the power of the Supreme Lord. Power as opposed to what I'll talk about in a few minutes, which is more of an intimacy. There's an intimacy, a very powerful intimacy that the Lord has, but he has this great power also that we need to be aware of, and we're being instructed about in this verse. And then there's the word swarat. This word swarat appears in the very first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, describing the absolute truth as independent, completely independent, not obligated to anyone, not deriving a power or authority from anyone, but completely independent, swarat. That's something that can only be attributed to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No one else can claim that they are swarat, because we're all dependent in one way or another. And so this word swarat also explains the power and majesty, or the tattva, the truth of the Supreme Lord. But then the verse ends with Hare Priya Chikirshaya. With a desire to act for the pleasure of his elder brother, Krishna. With a desire to act for the pleasure of. Now, of course, great displays of power can be used to please someone. Particularly, the Lord was prayed for by the demigods. He was coming in this world to vanquish the very powerful asuras who had seized control of the world. So certainly, power and majesty can be used to subdue such ill-gotten gains by undeserving asuras. But it lacks the sweetness of a desire to please. A desire to please can be something more intimately experienced, and Prabhupada indicates this in his pastimes in the translation here, where he says that Sankarshan will appear as Baladev just to please the Supreme Lord in his transcendental pastimes. So Krishna comes here, yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata bhutanama dharmasya tadatmanam sujami aham. He comes here to display his pastimes in an effort to attract the fallen souls of this conditional material world back to the spiritual world. And he takes the position that by pleasing interaction with his devotees, loving interaction with his devotees, by showing that, the fallen souls will be drawn back to the spiritual world. Yes, the power and display of majesty is there, but what will draw them back? What will capture their attention? Turn their hearts again to loving devotional service to Him. That is His pleasing pastimes. So He comes to display those. And Lord Balaram, Lord Baladev, comes here for that purpose as well. Harer Priya Chikirshaya. To act in such a way to give pleasure to the Supreme Lord. Srila Prabhupada had one godbrother from Germany, Sadananda. And Prabhupada would tell the story about the realization of Sadananda that he thought was very significant. And it involved deity worship, the deity form of the Lord. Sadananda came to India and he traveled and he took darshan at various temples around India. And he saw Shiva with his dance of destruction. He saw Durga with her 10 arms dealing with demoniac persons. And he saw Krishna playing his flute. And his conclusion after seeing the various deity forms of the Lord was that Krishna must be God. What was his conclusion based on? Why did he conclude like that? Because he's enjoying. Everyone else is working. Durga's working. She's cutting off heads and all kinds of stuff. Shiva's working, destroying the universe. But Krishna was simply enjoying. Krishna was simply enjoying. And therefore, he came to the conclusion, this must be God, because God must not have any work. He must only be required to enjoy. If he's truly God, then his business is enjoyment. And he concluded this just by seeing the deity. So I wonder, if we brought this devotee here today, what his conclusion would be when he saw Krishna and Balaram on the altar here. He's already concluded that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. But when we have darshan of Krishna and Balaram, what do we see? Do we see Krishna as the Supreme Lord there? No. We see him as the subordinate to his elder brother. Why? Otherwise, why he's leaning on him? He's leaning on him. Who can take that position, dare take that position with the all-powerful Supreme Lord? Who would be so bold to do that? The boldness comes from Hare Priyar Chakirjita. That he came to please the Lord, and he's pleasing the Lord by facilitating the Lord's enjoyment of different types of relationships. Yes, as Sadananda concluded, Supreme Lord means that he's enjoying, simply enjoying. But how does he enjoy? He enjoys in relationships with his devotees. He enjoys in relationships with his devotees. So, as Prabhupada explains in the purport, in this incarnation, he's come as Krishna's elder brother, and giving Krishna enjoyment in this way. So today I wanted to review some of the lila, these enjoyable exchanges Krishna has with his devotees, with the idea of understanding how Balaram, as the elder brother of Krishna, helped him enjoy that rasa, that relationship. We know that Krishna, his life is generally broken down into four age groups, Komara, Poganda, Kaishori, and Yavana. I want to make sure I get that right because there's a big difference in those words. So we're going to talk about how Krishna interacted with Balaram and give some examples from these different four age groups. But before that, you know, I thought that since this is Balaram's appearance day and we all have a relationship with Krishna and Balaram here, that that I would offer to everybody, if they like, the ability to express their love and relationship with Lord Balaram. Those of you from Indian backgrounds, you may know that today is also the day that Rakhi is given, Rakhi Bandhana. Generally, it's thought of that this is just something that the sisters do for the brother. But I was consulting with my authority, my wife, this morning. She said, actually, no, it's not just limited to sisters and brother. Anyone can express their relationship by giving Rakhi, which is basically a little string you tie around the wrist of your elder brother. Anybody can do it. So I think that we have some little string and we'll just place it on the altar there. And if people want to, you know, make that kind of offering to Baladev today, they can go up and make a little Rakhi and just put it on the altar there. And that way express their love for Balaram in a personal way. Because we're a personal movement, we want to interact personally with the deities. And so this is the little string that we'll place there. And if the authorities allow, I didn't ask Mother Mukhi, but I'm hoping that it's okay, that this can remain there. And the devotees want to tie Rakhi for Balaram, they can do that as part of our worship of him today. Worship in a relationship to please him. So, four ages of Krishna and Balaram interacting with Krishna as his elder brother in those four ages. First in the Kumara age. And I think I must admit this is my favorite one because it involves the elder brother telling on the younger brother. It's described in the chapter Vision of the Universal Form. Another day when Krishna and Balaram were playing with their friends, all the boys joined Balaram and complained to Mother Yashoda that Krishna had eaten clay. Now this is something that, and all of Krishna's leaders are sort of pervertedly reflected in this world. And so we see these things in their perverted fashion, which sometimes are very harsh and unfortunate and very sad. But in Krishna's pastimes, in the original form, in Krishna Lila, these things are sources of enjoyment, no matter who's on the wrong end of the stick. And so here, Balaram apparently creates this story just to get Krishna in trouble. You can imagine an old elder brother doing that, you know, trying to get his younger brother in trouble and get him punished. So Balaram was joined by the other friends in doing this. On hearing this, Mother Yashoda caught hold of Krishna's hand and said, "My dear Krishna, why have you eaten earth in a solitary place? Just see, all your friends, including Balaram, are complaining about you." Being afraid of his mother, Krishna replied, "My dear mother, all these boys, including my elder brother Balaram, are speaking lies against me. I have never eaten any clay. My elder brother Balaram, while playing with me today, became angry, and therefore he has joined the other boys to complain against me." So this is boys. They play, and there's a great amount of competition among young boys. You always see them. They're like jumping and fighting with each other, doing this and that with each other, trying to, you know, prove their prowess in one way or another. And sometimes it results in someone being a little angry. And so Krishna is saying, no, it's Balaram's fault. He got angry, and therefore he's making these lies against me. Of course, then Krishna goes on to show the universal form to Mother Yashoda in his mouth. Again, a mixture of tattva and lila. Her showing her the truth, the majestic truth of the universal form in his mouth, yet remaining her small child. So that's some lila that took place between Krishna and Balaram, his elder brother, in the Kumara age, the 0 to 5 years old age. Later, in the Poganda age, which begins around 5, we find a very sweet exchange between Krishna and Balaram. A younger brother, not only praising his elder brother, and appreciating the fact that he had an elder brother, but indeed recognizing his position in Tattva as a Supreme Lord. Just before Deinakasura was killed, there's a nice description in Srimad Bhagavatam about the Vrindavan forest, how it's very beautiful with flowers and fruits and humming bees and clear water lakes, a very pleasing atmosphere to the fullest extent. And you can imagine where the Supreme Lord Krishna wants to enjoy. And this is where the Indian movies get it wrong. When they picture Krishna enjoying, it's like some backdrop of an ocean or, you know, vacant sky or something like that. But that's not where Krishna enjoys. When Krishna wants to enjoy, he can make a better place than that. And Vrindavan is there, full of wonderful forests with nice scented breezes flowing through. And so this is what Krishna and his cowherd boyfriends enjoyed, including Lord Balaram. And so one day, in that atmosphere, Krishna spoke to his elder brother, and this is what he said. My dear brother, you are superior to all of us, and your lotus feet are worshipped by the demigods. Just see how these trees, full with fruits and flowers, have bent down to worship your lotus feet. It appears that they are trying to get out of the darkness that has obliged them to accept the form of trees. They have been put into the stationary condition of life, but now they have the opportunity by seeing you in Vrindavan, and they are praying for further advancement in spiritual life through your personal association. Just see how the peacocks are dancing before you in great ecstasy. The deers, whose behavior is just like that of the gopis, are welcoming you with the same affection. You, my dear brother, are the supreme worshipable Godhead. So it's not that the brothers always fought, but they offered praise to one another, and the cowherd boys did as well, offering all kinds of comfort to Balaram as relief from their hard play and enjoyment in the forests of Vrindavan. So this took place, as I mentioned, during the Poganda age, and that was the age when Krishna and Balaram were given charge of the cows as opposed to the calves. That's when they would go into the forest. Given charge of the cows, Krishna and Balaram traversed Vrindavan, purifying the land with their lotus footprints. So that's the Poganda age. Kumara Poganda, Kaishora. Kaishora age, adolescence, 10 to 15 years old. And just after Krishna reached his 10th year, he went to Mathura. And in Mathura, there was a very amusing exchange of a different kind. As an adolescent youth, full of beauty We know that when he entered Mathura, he stirred the hearts of all the women there by his personal beauty. He and Balaram and the cowherd boys were roaming around the city having different types of adventures, and it stirred a great longing for Krishna's association in the women of Mathura, including not just the beautiful ones, but other ones as well. And so there is the story of Kubja. This is interesting because it sort of focuses on this fresh new aspect of Krishna's personality entering the Kaishora age. And it focuses on the attraction, sort of the sexual attraction that Kubja had for Krishna. After Krishna blessed her by straightening her up, she spoke to Krishna in this way. When a woman was turned by Krishna's favor into an exquisitely beautiful young girl, she naturally felt very much obliged to Krishna, and she was also attracted by his beauty. Without hesitation, she caught the rear part of his cloth and began to pull it. She smiled flirtatiously and admitted that she was agitated by lusty desires. She forgot that she was on the street and before the elder brother of Krishna and his friends. Sort of in Vedic society, this is a real kind of no-no. And I think this is where Krishna's pastimes get interesting from here on, because there are intricacies of relationships that were observed by Krishna, were relished by Krishna, let's say. They're observed by us as regulative principles in this world, but they were relished by Krishna as Leela in his experience of these things. And so, certainly before one's elder brother, one should not be flirting with women on the street. I mean, one shouldn't be doing it anyway, but to speak in front of your elder brother, Balaram. And so, Kubja said, she frankly proposed to Krishna, "My dear hero, I cannot leave you in this way. You must come to my place. I am already very much attracted to your beauty, so I must receive you well. And since you are the best among males, you must also be very kind to me." In plain words, she proposed that Krishna come to her home and satisfy her lusty desires. Krishna, of course, felt a little embarrassed in front of his elder brother Balaram. So he felt embarrassed in front of Balaram. And that's, you can imagine the discomfort that he must have been feeling, having Kubja talk to him like that, and on the street, and again in front of Lord Balaram. But at least here, and in other commentaries that I've read, in Prabhupada's Krishna book and other commentaries I've read, it doesn't say that Balaram chose to chastise him or anything. He just kind of didn't say anything. Do you know, did he say anything, Balaram? I don't think he said anything. He just sort of like, okay. But it was one of those things that finds mention in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the intricacies of the relationships of elder brother and younger brother. So Krishna next progressed to the Yovana age, 15 on. He doesn't age beyond that time in life. But there are many different relationship pastimes that took place between Krishna and his elder brother Balaram during this age. First is marrying Rukmini. Now we know the history. Rukmini wrote a letter that she wanted to marry Krishna. She sent it by a brahmana. And Krishna decided that, yes, I will go to Vidarbha and I will marry Rukmini. But he had conversations with Balaram about this, and so Balaram agreed that he'll come with him. And they decided they would bring an army with them because they know how these things happen. You know, you go to some place and you kidnap a princess, and there's always these other princes that are ready to fight. And so to be prepared for this, Balaram joined Krishna going to Vidarbha, where he would kidnap Rukmini. And so when they got there, Krishna did it very easily. And then as they rode off, Balaram and the army fought off all the other kings and everything that were there. And when they gave up being disappointed, Rukmini's brother Rukmi was very upset. And so he chased after Krishna. And he finally caught up with him. And then Krishna, he defeated him and he tied him up. And then he did what? You know what Krishna did? He humiliated him by shaving him in different ways, like cutting funny haircut, half his head here, half the mustache or something like that, making fun of him. Now, Rukmini had sort of like, before this happened, while this was happening, she was very concerned, and she didn't want Krishna to kill her brother. I mean, after all, they're brother and sister, and they, you know, she had some affection for her brother, and she didn't want him, Krishna, to kill him. So she was asking Krishna, praying to Krishna like that. But then Krishna cut him up anyway and made him funny looking. But then Lord Balaram came. And Balaram, understanding the intricacies of relationships, how she felt, he took the position of chastising Krishna. Krishna, why are you doing this? Well, why? And he was, by his speech, he was trying to pacify Rukmini. And this is the position of the elder brother. The elder brother takes that position sometimes. Being elder, he can correct the behavior of his younger brother. And so it's described here in the Srimad Bhagavatam that when all the commanders of the Yadu dynasty came back to see Krishna, they were all surprised to see the condition of Rukmi. Lord Balaram became especially compassionate toward his sister-in-law, who was newly married to his brother. To please Rukmini, Balaram personally untied Rukmi, and to further please her, Balaram, the elder brother of Krishna. And it's significant that each place these words are there, the elder brother of Krishna. This is describing the role, describing the relationship, trying to give us some entrance into the feelings of pleasure that are there being experienced by Krishna. And Balaram, the elder brother of Krishna, spoke some words of chastisement. Krishna, your actions are not at all satisfactory, he said. This is an abomination very much contrary to our family tradition. He was welcoming in Rukmini into the family. He said, our family tradition, she's now part of this. So how, and that family is also part. In Vedic culture, the marriages were like families getting married, not individuals. Of course, that has its good side and its bad sides. But the families, so he wanted to make her feel part of the family. It's very much contrary to our family tradition. To cut someone's hair and shave his mustache and beard is almost comparable to killing him. Whatever Rukmi may have been, he is now our brother-in-law, a relative of our family, and you should not have put him in such a condition. So, then Balaram spoke to Rukmini, trying to pacify her that Krishna was not correct in doing this and don't feel bad. So he took that position as the elder brother. Now it's interesting that a little while later in the family relationship, there was a marriage. And so at that marriage, Krishna and Balaram and all their family came to Rukmi's place because the marriage involved, I think, one of his daughters or something like that. There was a family relationship. And so during the family enjoyment there was quite another manifestation of Balaram's relationship with Rukmi. You can imagine that after the marriage, there's sort of a social scene getting together, and somehow or another, Rukmi maintains some enmity in his heart towards Krishna, and so he was advised by his friend, King of Kalinga, well, why don't you, here's a way you can express your anger and get your vengeance is by challenging Balaram to play a game of dice. Because we all know that Balaram is not very good at playing dice. What does that mean? He's the first expansion of Krishna, the all-powerful Supreme Personality of Godhead. What do you mean he's not very expert at playing at dice? He knows everything. He can do anything. He's Swat. He's completely independent. So why are you saying he's not expert at playing dice? Well, because of Leela, to enjoy the pastime of the killing of Rukmi. Indeed, they played dice, and Rukmi was cheating time after time. He claimed he had won when he had lost, and the bets were getting higher and higher. Finally, one last bet, Balaram made it, and according to the rules of chess, he won. He won. But Rukmi and his cohorts didn't accept that. And indeed, they started to insult Balaramji. Here's some of the things they said. My dear Balaramji, you two brothers, cowherd boys only, may be very expert in tending cows, but how can you be expert in playing chess or shooting arrows on the battlefield? These are arts well known only to the princely order. So he criticized Balaram in this way, and that was a bit too much. Balaram immediately took his club and he killed Rukmi, and he bashed out the teeth of the king of Kalinga. Now, obviously there was some strife between Krishna and between Balaram and Rukmi. But as you recall, we just described how that there was some intimate relationship between the two. And so to respect that, it's described here by Prabhupada in the Krishna book, during this strife between Balaram and Rukmi, Krishna did not utter a word. Now, why didn't he say something? He could have said, well, Balaram, you said this, you know, back when I cut him up, you know, but you see, the intricacies of relationship were important, were part of the Leela, were part of the feeling and the experience that's going on. And therefore, he did not utter a word during all of this, because he knew if he had supported Balaram, Rukmini, his wife, would be unhappy. And if he said that the killing of Rukmi was unjust, then Balaram would be unhappy. So the relationship put Krishna in an awkward situation. He couldn't support his brother, and he couldn't support his wife. So he just remained silent. He remained silent. But again, these are all pastimes of enjoyment. If we were experiencing this ourselves in this material world, it would be awkward. But in Krishna's pastimes, that awkwardness has a enjoyable flavor to it. And as I see our pujaris are getting ready to set up here, I just want to focus on one last pastime. It's also a marriage pastime, and it involves the Arjuna's kidnapping of Subhadra. This pastime takes place almost at the end of the 10th canto. I think it's the last chapter before prayers of the personified Vedas, yes. Arjuna kidnapping Subhadra. Here we have two brothers, Krishna and Balaram. Balaram being the eldest. Now, if you know anything about marriage in Vedic culture, or more recently in sort of Indian culture, the role of the elder brother is very important. Actually, the elder brother often makes the arrangements. This is the arrangement, and everyone has to go along with it in the family. And so, Subhadra, the sister of Krishna and Balaram, she was a young, unmarried girl, and Balaram had some idea about what he wanted to do. He was the elder brother. He wanted to marry her to who? Who did he want to marry her to? To Duryodhan, right? He wanted to marry her to Duryodhan. But no one else in the family was into that. You know, thought, oh, no. But no one said anything because he's the elder brother. And so he had this idea. But Arjuna was actually captivated. And when he heard there was a plan to marry Subhadra to Duryodhan, it describes in Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary that Arjuna and Krishna became co-conspirators for Arjuna to come and kidnap Subhadra. And so Arjuna came and he took the guise of a sannyasi, and he even was invited by Lord Balaram to take prasadam at his palace. But all the time he was making a plot how he was going to kidnap Subhadra, apparently with the approval of Krishna, against his elder brother. Imagine a younger brother going against the elder brother, completely against etiquette. So the kidnapping happened and Balaram was furious. I'll just read to you what it describes about his fury. When Subhadra was thus kidnapped by Arjuna, her relatives and family members began to cry. But still he took her, just as a lion takes his prey and departs. When it was disclosed to Lord Balaram that the so-called sannyasi was Arjuna, who had planned such a device simply to take away Subhadra, and that he had actually taken her, he became very angry, just as the waves of the ocean become agitated on a full moon day. Lord Balaram became greatly disturbed. So in that situation, who do you think could pacify Lord Balaram? What relationship could be turned to pacify Lord Balaram in this situation? The younger brother. After all, the elder brother has feelings of love and affection for the younger brother, just doesn't lord over the position and do what he wants. So Lord Krishna was in favor of Arjuna. Therefore, along with the other members of his family, he tried to pacify Balaram by falling at his feet and begging him to pardon Arjuna. Krishna convinced Balaram that Subhadra was attached to Arjuna, and thus Balaram became pleased to know that she wanted Arjuna as her husband. The matter was settled, and to please the newly married couple, Lord Balaram arranged to send a dowry consisting of an abundance of riches, including elephants, chariots, horses, maidservants, and men servants. So the younger brother pacified the elder brother by falling at his feet. Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan Swayam. He's second to no one. Indeed, Lord Balaram is his first expansion, as the verse explained today. So in Chaitanya Charitamrita, which Prabhupada references in the purport today, it describes how all the expansions of Krishna, this is there in the Adi Lila, I think it's in 7th chapter, Adi Lila 7. Those chapters describe one after another the incarnations of the Lord. And all of them consider themselves a servant of Krishna. I am a servant of Lord Chaitanya, I am a servant of Lord Chaitanya, I am a servant of Lord Chaitanya and a servant of his servants. Alila chapter 6. So, even though they consider themselves the servant of Krishna, Krishna, for purposes of Leela, to enjoy relationships with his devotees, he falls at the feet of Balaram and begs him to be pacified. This is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Leela and Tattva. So, are there some brief comments or questions about these subject matters? Yes, Ganga Narayan Prabhu. Right, in the purport to this verse we read today, yeah, it says that sometimes as the elder brother, sometimes as a younger brother. Right.
And he vowed that I never want to take incarnate again as his younger brother, because if I'm his older brother, then I can make him enjoy in so many different ways, and he can't order me to not let him enjoy.
Right.
So that's how he took Baladev.
Yes,
Lakshman
had enough of this younger brother business, you know. Elder brother, I tell. Thank you, Prabhuji. Anything else anyone has very quickly? Yes, Mother Swaha.
For instance, the Kaliya Daman Leela, because Balaram was left at home, and also the Brahma Vimohan Leela. And I've heard, I can't give any references, but a class I heard said that anyone, Lord Balaram, that he had taken the place of all the calves and all the cowherd boys. But Lord Balaram noticed how the interactions between the mother cows with their calves and as well as the cowherd boys and their parents, and how they were loving them so much. And so he understood something. And then it was explained that he felt this separation from Krishna, because Krishna had kept something secret from him. So are any other leelas occurred on his appearance day, do you know?
Well, I'm not sure, but you mentioned it's very interesting, you know, that they, because he was his elder brother, when he didn't go in the forest in those days that you mentioned, because he had to stay back to do his ceremony, then when something went wrong, all the inhabitants, you know, of Vrindavan, they thought, oh, his elder brother is not with him, because elder brother offers protection to the younger brother. And so absent that, the residents of Vrindavan were feeling something bad could happen to Krishna. But Balaram himself, when they got to the bank of the Jamuna there where the Kaliya Leela was going on, everyone was fainting and, you know, falling. But Balaram, he was just smiling, standing there smiling, because he knew that Krishna was in control and wouldn't be. So I don't know other pastimes on his birthday, but we can assume if it happened one year, it probably happened more like that as well. So, thank you. Balaram's the origin of all the snakes.
Any pastime of snakes?
Oh, okay. Balaram is the origin of snakes. So any pastime where there's snakes are involved, and Balaram is not there. Let me see. Oh, Balaram Jayanti Ki. Hare Krishna.